Welcome, right here. Welcome to Farmington Baptist Church this morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, my name is Philip, and I'm the pastor here. Can you hear me out there? I need a little more in the monitors, or I'll go not deaf. But by this afternoon, I'll be like, I don't know, something happening. So just a little more in the monitors. So I can hear myself, because at least one person needs to listen to this. We're in a series called Examine, and this is the fifth part in that series. This is the simplest of all the sermons that we've had through the series, and probably one of the most important ones that we have, if there can be a level of importance on messages and stuff like that. But nonetheless, that's it. So let's get started, and we'll jump right in. So turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. This has been a series on faith and a look at faith. We did not cover all the aspects of faith in these five sermons. There's a lot more that we could have done. For instance, some people are given the spiritual gift of faith, which is different than faith that you have in Jesus normally. It's a spiritual gift of faith. Some people are given that. We didn't cover that. We didn't cover the fact that that faith is a flavor of a spiritual gift, or not a spiritual gift, I'm sorry, spiritual fruit. You have one spiritual fruit with many flavors, and faith is one of the flavors of that spiritual fruit. We didn't cover that. We also didn't cover the fact that within this room, God has given a different measure of faith. It's not the gift of faith, but he's given a different measure of faith to each individual in this room. Romans says he's done that so none of us can boast. That's what Romans tells us about. So we didn't cover that, and we're not going to. But I thought I'd throw those out, and maybe that's something that y'all can study on your own. But for now, we're in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, and this is what it says. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us do them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So what this is saying is, once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are all given gifts. And God expects us to use those gifts for the benefit of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This text also says that none of us should think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but we should use these gifts out of a heart of service for the glory of God the Father. So that's what this text is talking about. Now, turn over, with that in mind, turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We'll be in James the remainder of the sermon. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 22, that's where we'll look at. And this is what it says. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. A couple of things. First of all, here are the words that is used for that. I remember. First of all, doers comes from a Greek word that means doers. You're active. You do the word. You live the word. That's what the Greek word just means. It's amazing how that translates over into English. Second, of the word. Of the word. This is important because a lot of times people in churches think because they're active, they are doers of the word. That's not necessarily true. There are people that serve in churches all across this nation that all they are doing is serving. They're not necessarily doers of the word. They're just serving. They're leading worship. They are. Some of them are preaching. Some of them are in classrooms. Some of them are doing other things throughout the church, but they aren't necessarily doers of the word. They're just doers of service. There's a distinction. Now, I'll go one more step and say, there are some people all across this nation that are in the classrooms, the preschool classrooms, or teaching children's worship, or preaching, or leading worship, that are actually doers of the word. They just happen to be doers of the word that are serving God. Other people that are just active aren't really serving God. They're just active. You follow me? You have to be doers of the word. This verse also says, but doers of the word and not hearers only. That word for hearers means attentive hearers. It means this. It means you actually look at the pastor while he's preaching and you actually just listen actively. But that's all you do. You listen actively, and your activeness has to do with, well, is what he's saying is true? Is it not true? Do I agree with it? Am I going to take this home? Is he boring? Is he good? Or I knew that part about the scripture. I didn't know that part about the scripture. I've heard this message before. He spoke it 5 times in the past. I have it marked in my Bible. I know. I keep track, blah, blah, blah. It's that attentive hearers. And all you do is hear, and that's all you do. You never translate what you hear from the word of God into action in your life, into actually doing it. So you just hear it. You hear it, you go home. You hear it, you go home. You hear it, you go home. I might put it to you this way. You hear it and you forget it. You hear it and you forget it. You hear it and you forget it. In fact, that's precisely what James says in this passage. In verse 23, it says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. He makes his way to Walmart. Come on, you've seen him at Walmart. People in weird stuff, right? Totally forgets. I don't think those people actually have a mirror in their home. God loves them all, but they don't have a mirror in their house. But nonetheless, he looks and goes away and forgets what he was like. Some people just come to church and they listen to it and they're like, yeah, I really agree with that. And then they forget about it when they leave. They forget what they were like. They forget what they were like before they became Christians. They forget what they were like before they found Jesus. They forget all of that. And they just go back home and they forget what they have actively heard. And they never, ever really do it. And if they do it, it's very small percentage of what they live according to the scriptures. And it's not the whole scriptures or the whole counsel of the word of God that they actually try to live. So what does James say about these people? In verse 22, he says that they deceive themselves. The Greek word that's used for that is this one, and this one's very specific. It is a word that is only used in Scripture of self-deception. That means all across this country in churches just like ours, and maybe even this one, there are people that are sitting on a Sunday morning that actively hear and have deceived themselves into thinking that they are very close with God, but they're not, because they're not living the words of God that he wrote in scriptures many years ago for them to live by and abide by in their life. This means that there are people that think that they are living by God's word and they're actually not, because they're attentive hearers and they think that that's enough, and it never changes them outside of the doors of the church. God did not give us his word. He did not give us the Bible for us just to listen to it actively and go home. God gave us the Bible so that you and I would know how to live as lights in a fallen world. And if there's ever been a day where that is needed, it is this one. people that grab a hold of the word and live by the word. It is not just service in a church. It is living by what the word of God says in your everyday life. Now, with that said, he says to be a doer. Be a doer. So the question comes up, okay? So if it's not all this and I need to live the word of God and work it out in my life, what exactly does that mean? So with that in mind, I want you to turn over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18. It says this. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well, even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, what faith apart from works is useless? Faith apart from works is useless. Was not Abraham, and then he goes through that. And then in verse 25 it says about Rahab. And then in verse 26 it says, for as the body is apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead. So now he is saying this doer stuff in kind of a different way. He's saying there's faith, and there's faith that's dead, and there's faith that is alive. How many of you have ever had somebody tell you they're sorry for something that they have done, and they turn right around and did it again? Okay? That is sorriness without works, which is dead. Come on. If you're truly sorry, you're going to do something about it, and you're going to take steps. Now, we can put up with somebody that really says they're sorry, and then they actually are trying to take steps, but they keep falling into it, but they tend to be on the right path, and they're moving toward the right path, right? We can put up with that. The person that just keeps saying, I'm sorry, but that's just the way I am, I'm sorry, that's just the way I am, and the person that never changes with their sorry isn't really sorry. Come on. They're not really sorry. They just keep doing it, and they don't really care that it hurts you. They just keep doing it over and over again. But there are people that keep falling into the same sin, and they're trying to get out of it, and you know it, and you just keep forgiving, because you know they're on the right path. There are people that say, I'm sorry, but they're dead in their sorriness. They're not alive in their sorriness. Faith is the same way. There are people that say they have faith in the scriptures, but they're dead to any works or any doing because they never really live by those scriptures. They live in what the scriptures tell them not to do, and that is death. Scripture is very clear that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. So the person that has faith that does works is showing that life that he has in Jesus, that they've been resurrected, brought up out of the grave into new life, and the old things are passing away, and behold, the new has come, and things are becoming new. So faith with that works sort of deal. So there are faith with works and faith without works. All right, this is what I need. I'm not trying to make a statement about the audience, but I'm going to ask this question. I need someone that can read really good out loud. I'm not making a statement about the audience. Somebody that can read really good out loud. Are you really? Really? You're a visitor, though. Are you sure? You don't know these people, huh? Okay, come on up. You're going to have to bring your Bible. Do you have a Bible? I have a Bible. I have one. All right, members, a visitor just showed you up. I'm just saying, okay? Have a seat. All right, now, what I need you to do is, have you ever wore one of these before?
No.
No? And what is your name again?
My name's April.
April. I was not about to call you that name. And I met you out there.
I'm accepting it
all. I had Rachel in my mind, but I'm glad I didn't say Rachel. All right, so put this on that ear over there and the sound guy in the back is going to have you. This is your pack.
It just goes around.
Nothing. Yeah, just like this. Ear. Yeah, you got it. Can you help her with that? Put it around her. All right. So I need two people that can answer simple questions that are adults. Just simple questions that are adults. I need two adults. Okay, we have another visitor. Come on up. Thank you. All right, y'all sit here and here. Great.
Come over. Hi there.
Great. All right, you have the blue mic, and there was a red one up here. It's behind me. Oh, awesome. It's a red night. Here you go. And your name is?
Linda.
I was not going to call you that either. And I met both of these in the audience. She's actually a friend or related to the Saris, which are on the back row, so I can remember stuff about you. And she used to go to a church in High Point?
Faith Assembly of God in Kernersville.
In Kernersville. So, you know, High Point, Kernersville, same place. Solly, North Carolina. Outside of Davie County, they're all sitters. I was just kidding. Okay, and your name, sir?
Just whatever you want to call me.
Okay, all right, right. Great, this is Bob. Yeah, this is Bob. Okay, so what we're going to do is, next slide, please, is I'm going to get our I want to call you Rachel.
I can welcome that new
name. No.
I'm working with Bob.
It's April.
April. And what April is going to do is she's going to read some scriptures that I want her to read, and then I'm going to go to one of you, and I'm going to say, is that faith with works or faith without works? Okay? So I'll give you a little hint. If it's a sin, it's not a faith with works. If it's not a sin, it's faith with works. And I may have some explanations for you to help you along. Okay? Ready? Let me make sure, because I never really follow these notes when I'm preaching. Just want to make sure I'm in the right spot. Right, faith without works. Where does it say bring people up? Oh, call people up from the audience. Set them in three chairs. Okay, so here we go. All right. So read chapter 1, which is page over. Chapter 1, verse 26.
See, I can read. It's that counting I have trouble with.
Yeah, and the numbers are really small. I'm glad I have trouble with those.
Okay. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless.
All right. So if you control your tongue, it is, you'll have to hold that up to me. It is, if you control your tongue, it's faith with works. If you don't control your tongue,
faith without works.
It's faith without works. That's what that passage says. If you're inclined just to say anything you want to say behind people's back and gossip about them, that is a moment your faith is dead. If you're a person that controls your lips and controls what you say about people when you're around other people, that is faith with
words.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is that simple. It is that simple. Here's another one. Let me say this. Can I see that a second?
It's yours.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. I appreciate you letting me have my Bible. you're a trip. All right. Verse 5 in chapter 3 of James says this. So also the tongue that is a small member boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. And the word of righteousness, and the word of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. You know what the church needs? The church needs a tongue fire department. And when you're in a group of people where they are criticizing someone else, you need to be the one that has faith enough, that has action enough to say, we don't do that here. It's done. It's over. Stop it. We need people that are tongue fire departments. Amen?
Amen.
Man, that's hard to do, because really your tongue really wants to add to that fire, doesn't it? Come on, church. You know, you really want to join in because there's something inside of you that burns. There's something to say, yeah, and I have this piece of information, and you just kind of, yeah, and you just feel good when you start talking about it, right? Oh, and you know what you're doing? You're putting gas on that fire, and it's burning, and it's burning, and it's leading to death, and it's actually faith that is dead, not faith that is alive, though you feel like you're alive, but all it is a fire that's destructive. Whew. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Chapter 2, verse 1. That'll be easy to find. So here we go.
My brothers, show no partiality.
Partiality,
mm-hmm. as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory.
Okay, so if you show partiality, it is?
Faith or without works?
Without works. If you do not show partiality, it is?
Faith with works.
Faith with works. That passage right there has to do with rich and poor and how you treat people with money and without money. And James is saying, hey, you have to treat them the same. I think we could take it one step further. We treat everyone the same with the love of Christ. Last time I checked the scriptures, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. So we treat people the same. Faith with works treats them the same. Faith without works treats people in tears. And sizes them up and puts them on different planes. By the way, the church is not a business in the sense of a bank. The church is in the people business because Jesus is in the people business. So we treat them all the same. All right, chapter 2, verse 8. Y'all are doing great. These are very high-level questions. Very difficult. Go ahead.
If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. You are doing well.
Okay. If you love your neighbor as yourself, is it a work with?
With.
If you hate them because they don't mow their yard.
That's without.
It's without.
And then you go mow their yard for them.
Oh, and then you go, would you like to preach the rest of the message? Because I was really good. Yeah, that'd be great. Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, it's hard to love some people, right? We all have relatives. We all have mother-in-laws, right? We all have those people that are very difficult to love, very difficult. We have that person at work that is just that person at work. It's hard to love your neighbor as yourself, but here's the deal. You love your neighbor as yourself. So you treat them like you would want to be treated while they're there and while they're not there. That is works of faith. Okay, ready? Chapter 2, verse 13.
For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Okay, so if you don't show mercy to someone else.
That's not with works.
That's not with works. If you show mercy to someone else.
It's with works.
That's with works. Faith that is without works doesn't show mercy to other people. They do something wrong against you and you do not show them mercy. Faith with works shows mercy to other people. What if you and I started living our lives in such a way that we showed mercy toward the people that did us wrong? And the reason we showed mercy toward the people that has done us wrong is because Christ has shown us mercy to us who has done him wrong. I know I messed that up at the end, but that was probably Satan. All right? We have done Christ wrong and he has shown us mercy. We need to show other people mercy. I think it's hard to show people mercy at times. Right? It's very difficult. But when we hit that moment where we are up against death and not showing them mercy, we need to remember, if we do not show them mercy, that is our faith without works. Faith with works is showing them mercy regardless, and it shines lighter for Jesus and brighter for the gospel than anything else you can do. Faith with works. You ready for this one? Because this is a long one.
Okay. What you got?
It isn't. I'm sorry. I lied to you. That was faith without works. All right, chapter 3, verse 9. Listen to this one closely.
With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God.
All right. If we curse people and complain about people,
that is without works.
That is without works. If we don't do that,
definitely with works.
It's definitely with works. Have you ever considered that when you talk bad about someone and you're out to get them, that you're actually talking against the very thing that God created? So the next time you decide to talk kind of about somebody and they're not there, you just need to remember, it's really not about them. It's about how you really feel about God and what He created. Whew. Come on. These are thoughts that needs to be in every believer's life. There are ways that we can live our faith that is alive. There's ways that we can live our faith that is death. We need to be on the live track. The live track. Okay, here we go. I think this is the last one. It is. Ready?
I'm ready.
Chapter 3, verse 13.
Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom.
Okay. If you live your life out of good conduct according to the scriptures.
That's faith with works.
If you don't.
Without.
Very good. Give them a hand. Thank you. And
you can just.
Thank you. That's all right. I got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Oh, great. So, I'm going to read you something. This is not from what I consider to be a translation. This is a paraphrase of Scripture. And it really explains James chapter 4. And I just want to read this. And we're going to make some comments and kind of wrap this thing up. Okay? This is what it says. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. You lust for what you don't have and are willing to kill to get it. You want what isn't yours and will risk violence to get your hands on it. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. Your Y-O-U-R-E, spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Wow. People that have faith that don't have the works that are dead are just wanting their own way. People that don't treat people right are just people that want their own way. People that talk about other people in a derogatory sort of fashion are just people that want their own way. Are you with me? And every time you do it, every time I do it, it's just because I want my own way and you want your own way. And it's faith that is without works. But every time we submit to the Holy Spirit and to His leading and to His guiding is the moment that we aren't selfish, and it's the moment that we live for Him, and it's the moment that we embrace the new life that He has given to us. It says you're cheating on God, and if all you want is your own way, flirting with the world every chance you get, you end up enemies of God and His way. And do you suppose God doesn't care? The proverb has it that he's a fiercely jealous lover. And what He gives in love is far better than anything else you'll find. It's common knowledge that God goes against the willful proud, and God gives grace to the willing humble. So let God work His will in you. Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and He'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin, purify your inner life, quit playing the field, hit bottom, and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Don't badmouth each other, friends. It's God's word, his message, his royal rule that takes a beating in that kind of talk. You're supposed to be honoring the message, not writing graffiti all over it. Okay, did y'all hear that? You're supposed to be honoring the message of the gospel, not writing graffiti all over it? Whew. That's good. That's good. God is in charge of deciding human destiny. Who do you think you are to meddle in the destiny of others? We need to be people that have faith with works. And we need to stay away from faith that is dead. God is desperately trying to save you from yourself. God is desperately trying to save you from yourself. Now, are there people that are going to go to heaven that have faith? Well, I'm going to have to be careful here. That have faith but never show it in what they do? Sure. There's going to be people that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It was a real experience, but they never lived a life. 1 Corinthians. We can talk about that all day long. But people that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, God wants you to live that faith. He doesn't want you to live in death. He saved you out of death. Why would you go back to it? It's destructive. It's not good for you. It's not the place that you should reside. God wants you to have faith with works, faith that is alive, faith that is infused into his life and his will and his way. He wants you to live there. God is desperately trying to save you from yourself. He's desperately trying to get you not to continue down the wrong path and go down the right one. If you are a believer and you continually have deadness in your life, God is all the time trying to get you to hear it, 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 to hear it. To hear it. Because he loves you. We all need to make commitments today. Every single one of us. To live a life where our faith is in action. Our faith is in working out how God has told us to live. We tell the truth to each other. We are honest with each other. We keep our mouth shut when we need to keep our mouth shut. We're very careful what we do on the weekends. We're very careful what we do during the week. When we leave this building, we live the way that we know we should live, and we don't quickly forget the message, but we live it in our homes. We live it at our business. We live it wherever we go. We live for Jesus. That is faith with works. And that means sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be very difficult because deadness seems like sometimes it's the thing to do, right? Sometimes there's like a righteous jealousy fire that makes you think that you're really accomplishing something like in deadness. And it kind of consumes you. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to show them what real truth is. I'm going to show them righteousness. I'm going to show them that they don't have authority over me. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them. I'm going to show them. And it just dwells inside, and we really think that we are really living for Jesus when, oh, we're really going to show them. But that is death. Living out your faith in works is a total different thing. It feels totally different. James chapter 2. Let me find it. Verse 21. It says this. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. I want you to think about that a moment. He was told to kill his son and walk up a mountain and sacrifice him. And as a father, I would say that that did not feel right. How many fathers would say that? That would not feel right. Take your son, wouldn't feel right. But God told him that's what he needed to do. And by faith, he took everything that he needed for that sacrifice up the mountain, and he did it. Didn't feel right, but he did it. He did it because he had faith in God, and what God told him to do, he lived by. Whether it was leaving his home and going to a distant land and sojourning there forever, going back to Egypt, back to that land, whatever God told him to do, he did it. He always lived what God told him to do. It's not trying to prove something to someone and prove that you're righteous and prove that they don't have authority over you. That is not works. Works is living by faith and living peculiarly different than everyone else. It's taking your son up a mountain. I'm not saying you should do this. It's taking your son up a mountain and doing what God says to do with him. That's what it is. Now, Abraham, we would say he's a righteous guy in the scripture. Well, what about someone that may be a prostitute? What about them? Well, verse 25 says, and in the same way was not also Rahab, the prostitute, the what? Yeah, she made money. And it wasn't making cars. Okay? Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. Someone that was what we would consider to be deep, deep, deep in sin had faith enough in God and his works to do what was right. It doesn't take somebody special to live out their faith. It takes a willingness just to follow God in what he says. Whether you're Abraham or Rebecca or Rahab, whatever. Verse 26. For as the body is apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. I would rather go down in history and be in a Rahab and living out my faith for the rest of my life than remaining dead in my faith the rest of my life. How about you? Rahab. I don't always do this correctly. Okay? I don't always do this correctly. And because I don't always do it correctly, I know that you don't always do it correctly because you're just as human as I am. Right? This is what I know by experience, that every time I do not live out my faith and I choose death, there is always destruction. There is always quarreling. There is always anger. It does not turn out right. And every time I decide to submit to the Holy Spirit and live by his words and watch my mouth and watch my spirit and watch my action is the moment I have life abundantly. And even the worst days in this life are the best days because Jesus is with me. In fact, it is really a thrill of my life when the problems that come my way isn't because I caused them. Come on. Right? Right? They come your way, but it's not because you caused them. You're like, yes. But the ones that you cause are, oh, horrible. We need to make a change today. Every single one of us in the room. The Holy Spirit has already given that in your mind, what you need to confess and how you need to live differently. You just need to take the time to do it. So every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to have a moment of silence where you can do just that.